And now I wanted to share quickly a little bit about the Panama trip, my part of it, kind of. Sunday before we left for Panama, we were here in a service. After service, Herman came over, and he had a word for me from God. And the word was basically that God has something for you to do on your own. Don't try to hide behind Jim. That God has something specific that he wants you to do. So afterwards, I started asking God that, well, okay, God, since show me what it is, because I don't know exactly what you are talking about. And that Tuesday, I had already scheduled a lunch with this lady 2 weeks ago, and I started wondering if should I even go for that lunch, because it was kind of work-related, and I wasn't working for the company anymore. But I decided to go anyway for this luncheon, and it ended up being nothing to do with work, really. It was just the ministry. And she was basically crying almost the whole lunch. And she said that it was such a God appointment because she's been really discouraged. And she felt like God sent me to have lunch with her that Tuesday. So already I kind of got a taste of it, what it means when God connects you in the right way and when it's a God appointment. So then going forward, we leave into Panama on Thursday. Thursday night we arrive, and we already have an event planned that we are going to. There's probably about 100 people there from all over the world. Jim is talking to this guy, and I'm part of the conversation, but I'm also looking around the crowd and seeing who's there. And I see this girl, and I just knew that girl is from Finland. And I told Jim, and Jim's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I know she is. I'm going to go talk to her. And I walked up to her and said that, you're from Finland, aren't you? She's like, I am. How did you know? I'm like, I just knew. And right away, she started sharing her life story, basically, and things that she struggles with, and she's, like, in tears. And once again, I'm like, okay, God, now I know what you're talking about, that you have something for me to do, that there are people like this who need someone, who need encouragement, and it was just a divine connection. And that wasn't the only thing. Then a couple days later, we are looking for a restaurant in the old part of town, and we are wandering around the streets and can't find this restaurant. And we end up asking a couple different people, and then this European-looking couple walks up. And I told Jim that let's go ask them, maybe they know where it is. And ended up that they're looking for the same restaurant. So we look for the restaurant together, find it, and it's closed. So then they started recommending a different restaurant that let's go to this place. And we kind of ended up walking there together, and they just didn't seem to go away. So Jim asked them, would you like to join us for dinner? And they said, well, we would love to. And it ended up being one of those God moments again. I was talking to the wife. Jim was talking more to the husband. And she was so excited when I was telling her about the mission trips that I've done to Amazon. And she's like, I always wanted to do something like that, some kind of nonprofit work. Are you going to be doing things like that when you move to Panama? And I said, yes, we are. She's like, can I please be part of it? Said, I really, really like you. And I want you guys to come to Germany and be our guest. We want to invite you to our home. And we want to be in contact with you. And when you come here and have dinner together. And I said, sure, I would love that. Said, no, I want you to come to our house. And then we can come to your house. So we're going to be, this is like, we really want to be friends with you. And then we get home and I get an email from her that, let us know when you come into Panama, because we want to plan our trip maybe so we can be there same time and we can help you find your place so you're not alone. I mean, and it's just like amazing how God works things out. And that same night after we had dinner and left, they recommended for Jim and I to go to this rooftop terrace where you have a beautiful view of the city. So we decided to go there. We had an elevator going up. There's another couple that comes to the elevator. And the wife looks at me and says that, I saw you guys a couple hours ago walking around in the streets, and I told my husband that I want to meet those people. I want to get to know them. There's something about them. So we ended up spending hours with this couple, and all of a sudden it just started making total sense what the message that Herman had from God to me, that I'm needed, and I felt so needed in there that this was my place. You know, God has shaped each one of us in a specific shape. We are all different. And just like a puzzle, you have different pieces, but only one piece fits in that specific slot. And I found my shape fits perfectly in that slot in Panama. God showed me that this is where you're needed. This is where you belong. And we've been back now for about a week, and it feels like every day God has been speaking to me about the same thing, more like through the loudspeaker. It's not just whispers. It's like loudspeaker. And it's about believing in him, but not only believing in God, because Israelites believed in God. Everybody knew who their God was. They knew who their God was, but they didn't believe God. So they ended up wandering around, never finding their promised land. And often we can be the same. We believe in God. We know who God is. We are saved. We are going to heaven. But we'll never, ever find our promised land here on earth because we don't believe him. So we end up wandering around. So God is really just putting it in my heart. Just believe me, Sari. Just believe me. So that's my little testimony. So believe God. Don't just believe in him, but believe him.
Morning. Okay, so I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from about verse 12, carrying on from where we were last week, talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, so here we go. Verse 12 of chapter 2. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I just want to pray just for a second here. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak your words to us today. We invite you to speak deep words to our hearts and reveal to us Jesus and who he is and what he wants to do in our lives and what you want to do in our lives. So we just want to take a posture of submission to you right now, that you will lead us and direct us and reveal the kingdom of heaven to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going through this kind of three-part series on Sundays and Tuesdays. Sundays is a little bit more of a broad brush. Tuesday nights at Les and Crecia's house is more workshop style with questions and stuff back and forth and digging in a little deeper at the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're calling it Spirit Wisdom, Words, here we go, and Wonders. And last week we talked about wisdom, and today I want to talk about words and what the words of the Holy Spirit are. But I want to say this, and I mentioned this last week too, is that the subject of the Holy Spirit and the many different things that go with him can get really weird and really spooky and a little strange and all of that kind of stuff. And there's sometimes when it's spooky and it's weird, there's never good reasons for that. But because of the fact that we're talking about an invisible person, then it can get a little strange sometimes to put a handle on it and to find the right way to describe him and how he works practically in our lives. What we don't want to do is think that it's all mystical. It's both mystical and practical. Of course it's mystical. There's a sense that we can't see, we can't physically feel or touch, but there is physical and material manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he's the one that takes the things of heaven and makes them real to us as we live from day to day. And it has practical manifestations. It has material manifestations in our lives. But whenever we're talking about his wonders and his words and all of these wisdom and deeply spiritual things that we just read in this passage right here, what we don't want to overlook is the most important thing is him as a person. And when I say him, I also said this last week, it's not about gender, it's just a way to describe a person. It's a way to, he's a spirit, he's not a he or a she, but we just use the word him to describe him, which conveys the idea of person, rather than calling him it, where that can lead to what's being spooky and weird. And when you think about, some people like to use the term Holy Ghost. I've never liked to use that because it confuses me and it troubles me on the inside. But that, if that's what you use, fine, it's the same thing. It's this expression of him, though, as a person that we want to focus on and that we want to make sure that we have as being very important. Les and I were talking about this earlier in the week, and it's something that, you know, I would say probably in the last year and a half, that the gift of the Holy Spirit has started to become more real to me and more personal to me. And this is from someone who has grown in my Christian life in a Pentecostal church where the Holy Spirit is talked about a lot and, you know, is pursued a lot, and it's out there out front all the time. I went to a seminary that was the same. It was Assemblies of God. So you would think I should, in my head, know a lot about the Holy Spirit, but in the last year and a half, I've started to see something different. Because sometimes the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit get more emphasized than the gift of Him, Himself. And that's what I've begun to realize in the last year or year and a half, that all of the other stuff is not the thing to pursue. All of the other stuff is not the thing that identifies me as having spiritual maturity, spiritual wisdom, spiritual words, or spiritual wonders. It's the gift of Him. Think about it like this, and this is what has really started to change my mind. When I would think about Jesus being sent into the world, especially at Christmas and at Easter, we think a lot about the gift of Christ and the miracle that that is and how awesome that is, the gift of God, the generosity of God, the grace and the kindness of God to send His Son to come from heaven into the world, to be like us, to become like us, to understand us, to know us, to live as we live, to feel as we feel, to express as we express. It's an amazing miracle. And Christmas and Easter especially are times that we focus on that, and it helps us. And I've thanked God a lot for that, as I'm sure you have, when I think about the gift of Jesus. And I thank God for that gift. Lots of different moments in life when we do that. I started to realize, how is that more than the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said, I'm going away, and it's better for you that I go, because then I can send another one, the same kind as me, and He will come, and He will be with you always, and He will be in you. Jesus, as a physical man, can't live in me. He can't manifest Himself in me as a physical being. So He says, that's why it's better. I'll send another one to come who will be in you, and He will be with you, which is the same as the gift of God. Think about that. God Himself, God the Spirit, coming from heaven to live and dwell upon the earth and live inside you and live inside me forever. What a gift that is. It's relative to the great gift of Jesus Himself. It's not one is better than the other. It's God Himself in totality, giving Himself to you and to me. God gives Himself to us, not to take back, not to diminish it, not to make it smaller, but the totality of Himself. And He says, this is how I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. We tag that on to the end of the Great Commission, don't we? When Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you to the end of the age. How does He do that? He does it because the Holy Spirit has come from heaven, sent from the Father because of Jesus into the earth. So when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came to stay and be on planet earth and manifest in us, manifest in me, manifest in you. What a gift. So we want to think about and make sure that we stay focused on Him and not the wonders, not the words, not the miracles. They're just expressions. So I think you've got the point right there. But this is what I want to talk about today when we think about spirit words. We read in this scripture in Corinthians, Paul saying, this is what we speak, not the words of human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Well, what are they? Well, it would be easy to say that this is just speaking in tongues, and I think that's part of it. I'm going to come to that later, because Paul talks about that later. But spiritual words are not necessarily that you have a greater vocabulary or a theological vocabulary that makes you look spiritually intelligent. It's the tone of the words that you say. It's the spiritual life in the words that you're using. Something that's mystical, that's deep, that connects spirit to spirit. That deepest part of who you are as a human being. So it's not just taking it into your mind and your intellect. He says that earlier on, that we don't have the wisdom of the rulers of this age or the people of this age. No, this is a spiritual wisdom that we have. So the words that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you are words to your spirit. There's a tone to it, and there's life in it that's heavenly. that he wants to give you. Something of the kingdom of God that he wants to express to you and to me in your spirit, not in your head. Not for you necessarily even to be able to rearticulate or sing about or paint or draw about or anything like that, but something that you know deep, deep, deep inside you that's just between you and him. Now, there are times to express it, of course, but this is what the Spirit words are about, a new way of communicating. The Holy Spirit brings a new way of communicating that we've never known before Jesus. I don't know if I point this clicker the right way or not. So here's what I want to give you some examples. The book of Acts is the beginning of all of this new thing Jesus talked about. There's a new way of communicating. There's a new way of living. That's what he's telling his disciples. He says, there's a new covenant where I will write, this is in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, I will write my law on their hearts and in their minds. Paul's talking about it right here, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. That there's a new way of communicating that's coming. And the book of Acts is where we begin to see it actually, practically, materially happening in people's lives. Jesus has gone to heaven. The Holy Spirit has come down at the day of Pentecost, and you start to see this. These are some examples. It says the Holy Spirit gave instructions to the apostles. The other scripture verse right there, it says, and the Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks to you. He speaks to me. You don't hear him like you hear my voice right now. Spiritual truths and spiritual words, remember. Expressing spiritual wisdom. What else does he do? The Holy Spirit told Philip. Remember the story of Philip where he goes alongside this chariot and there's a guy in there reading the scriptures and he hears the guy reading the scriptures and then Philip begins to explain to him what the scriptures mean. But leading up to that, Philip only went alongside that chariot because the Holy Spirit told him. There's another scripture right there. I think that's Peter talking when it says, the guy's come to his house and he has a vision of these animals in a blanket and he doesn't want to go with them. He's resisting doing what God tells him to do. And then he says this, the Spirit told me that these men had come. And then Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said and the Holy Spirit says. So you can see that in the beginning of the church, this new way of communicating is happening where the Holy Spirit is speaking. He's giving instructions. He's telling. He's given directions. He's being very specific about it, and he's being very practical about it. Philip, go down this road and go next to that chariot. There's a guy called Agabus, gets another. Holy Spirit speaks to him, and he says, go to Straight Street, and there'll be a man there named Saul. Very specific, very practical stuff. There's a new way of God talking. Previously, here's how God spoke in the Old Testament before Jesus. He spoke through prophets, and he spoke through priests, and he spoke via the law. Everything there was external. In other words, for you and me, we would need someone else to tell us. We would go to the temple, we would go to a priest, we go to a prophet, or we go to the law. And those are the only ways that we hear God speaking, generally, of course. But now this new thing has happened. The words of the Spirit that God wants to communicate with us. We talked a little bit about that last week, using the internet as an example of how the Holy Spirit routes from heaven all of the things that are there for us and makes them real in our lives. So here's two examples of the words of the Spirit. Tongues and prophecy. Now, when you think about, when the Bible talks about, and they spoke in other tongues, or they spoke in other languages on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, like I've already said, a lot of times we can get focused just on that mystical sort of supernatural manifestation. It's scary for some people, it's confusing to others, for others it's exhilarating, whatever you might think about it. But here's how the difference between tongues and prophecy in relationship to the words of the Holy Spirit. Tongues, that Paul says, help us from our spirit communicate directly with God. What's interesting to me is that when it says that they spoke in tongues that they didn't understand, languages that were unknown to them, what's interesting to me about that gift happening right there is that it's like God completely taking control of the rudder. You know how the book of James says that the tongue is like a rudder, steering a whole ship, and it can direct the whole course of your life with the things that come out of your mouth. So one of the first gifts that you see being manifest when the Holy Spirit comes to the earth is God taking control of the tongue, that you don't get to use your intellect with it. It's completely between you and him, spirit to spirit. And I want to say this, and I don't want you to take this as being somewhat disrespectful to this gift. But to me, tongues are like training wheels for the tongue. Other languages that you don't know, that you can't figure out with your mind, the gift of the Holy Spirit, are like training wheels for your tongue to speak words of the Spirit between your spirit to you and God, but it's so that when you speak in your own native language, that he has control of our tongue. He has control of our words. And I'm not talking about so that you don't cuss and that you don't, you know, say mean things. I'm not talking about the negative. I'm talking about the positive. That there's a tone of life and heavenliness to your words. A spirit of prophecy to your words. Here's what prophecy is, quite simply put. It's just saying what God is saying for the moment. Hearing something from God and repeating it in the moment. That's what prophecy would be at its most basic. So the gift of tongues, the gift of speaking in other languages, is a spirit-to-spirit exchange from me to God. Prophecy is from God to me. And I just repeat it. And it has a tone of life, a tone of heavenliness to it, something that's awesome that communicates what God wants to say in the moment. Tongues, other languages for me is for what does God want me to pray right now? How do I express to God from the deepest part of me what he wants me to pray, what he wants me to hear? And then prophecy is him telling me what he wants me to repeat to someone, what he wants me to repeat to the world, what he wants me to declare about his kingdom on the earth. That's what prophecy would be at its simplest. Now, don't misunderstand this, but there are still prophets, and we still have priests, and we still have scripture. But this is how it's different in the New Testament. That's for us all. The New Testament describes that we, the body of Christ, Christians, are priests. A kingdom of priests is how it describes us. Paul says, I want that you all should prophesy. He said, I want you all to speak in other languages, but I want you all to prophesy. Because if you just all speak in other languages, who understands what you're talking about? But when you all prophesy, everybody gets built up. Everybody gets encouraged. In other words, when we take spirit words and we repeat them, when we declare to each other what God is saying in the moment, that builds us up, it gives us life, it inspires us. It encourages us. So we still have prophets, we still have priests, and we still want to use the scripture. But we want to let the Holy Spirit illuminate them. We want to let the Holy Spirit give guidance to us when we read the scriptures. We don't need to go to the law anymore. And we see that all the time through Jesus with the Pharisees, how they're taking the law as it is, just words, and killing people with it. Missing the whole spirit of the law. Missing the spirit words. The tone of life that is supposed to be within the law. And that's what we can do. That's what we are supposed to do and called to do and can enjoy doing in our relationship with the Holy Spirit himself. So when there's this new way of communicating, this new covenant that Jesus brings us into, here's how it changes. All of the way of communicating before was external. Now it's internal. The scriptures, the law was external, right? It was outside of us. The priest was external to us. The prophet was external to us. Now it's internal. It comes from within rather than from without. And that's because when Christ is in us, the Bible talks about the great prophet. He is our great high priest. And doesn't the scripture also say he is the word of God? So the Holy Spirit being, I mentioned this last week also, the same kind as Jesus. I'm referring to the chapters of John between 14 and 16. Jesus talks a lot about this counselor who I'm going to send, this helper who will come to be with you. In the Greek, how he describes that is another one, the same kind. Because you can have another who's a different kind, right? You can say, well, so that's another such and such. That's another town, or that's another car, or that's another motor vehicle, whatever. You can have another of a different kind. But Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit as another of the same kind as me. So when he comes and live in you, it's the same as Jesus living in you, the great prophet, the great high priest, and the word of God. He lives in us, and that's how he expresses himself to his word, to the world, in us, with us, and this last thing is immersing us. John the Baptist used that phrase. He said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The baptize word means immerse. Means to be completely immersed. And that's why we used this illustration last week. Is that if we were using the internet as an example and the Holy Spirit were the router, if he's the one bringing all of the things that are in heaven to us to animate us here while we're on earth, The screen can be on when you connect to the internet. But if you don't flick through the pages, if you don't surf the web, there's nothing more that you find than your homepage. So you can be born again. In other words, the screen can be switched on and you have spiritual life in you. There's some animation. But if you want to express more and know more and have words from the Holy Spirit and life from Him, this immersion experience is what John the Baptist is talking about and that Jesus is offering. Get immersed again and again and again in the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit who wants to give words and wisdom and wonders and life to us. There's two things that predominantly Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to talk to us about. When you read in John, he says, he'll take from what is mine and he'll make it known to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you about what is in Jesus right now. What is in his heart for you? What is his purpose for you? What is his plan for your life? What is the specific things that he wants to lead you in? What does he want to give you instructions about? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And the second thing is, Jesus said, and he will also tell you what is yet to come. So there's two things. What is in Jesus' heart and what is yet to come for you in your life? Not necessarily about what's going to happen to America, what's going to happen to Europe or the world or China. What about you? What is yet to come for you? Here's a fantastic example. We just heard Sari talking about what Herman said. There would be a spirit of prophecy. Those are spirit words that are prophetic, of speaking what is yet to come. When Herman doesn't have the exact details of everything, you didn't have a vision of Germans, did you? Sitting at sea, exactly, sitting on top of a rooftop terrace. Didn't see that, didn't need to see it, but spoke spirit words saying to Sari, this is what is yet to come. Not hiding behind Jim. You're going to be needed. There's going to be people for you to touch. These are the kind of things that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Sometimes he uses someone else, but he wants to predominantly speak it to you first. To you in your own quiet time. He wants to speak about what's in his heart for you now and what's coming in your future. So if you're feeling like, I don't know where I'm going, I don't have direction, I'm uncertain, or I'm afraid, or I'm having some new experiences, I feel anxious, there are things that are yet to come for you that Jesus has in his heart and the Holy Spirit wants to speak them. He wants to give those words to you. I'm going to give two examples of my own life and then I want to pray for you. An example of what is his, when Jesus wants to reveal what's in his heart right now. When Sari was telling you that story about going to Panama, let's rewind a couple of weeks, and I was coming back from Scotland, and God had been speaking to me, Les and I were having a conversation about going to Panama to move there and do ministry there. And I hadn't said anything to Sari about it. And on the way back on the plane, I was trying to sleep. You know how that is, trying to sleep on a plane, a long journey, and it's depressing. And because it just doesn't work. And I have little legs as well. I can't imagine what it's like for all you tall guys. But, I mean, it's horrible. So I start praying. It came to that. I started praying. And I said, God, what do you want to say to me? And I started to tell the Lord, I'm afraid about this whole thing you're saying to me about Panama. And the Lord spoke to me about a sermon I preached here last year when he said to me, Moses is dead. You remember the first part of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, where God says, Moses is dead. Now then, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. It's your turn. This is your time, and I'm with you. And he says, be strong and courageous, because I'm with you. Everywhere you put your feet, I'm going to give it to you. Just trust me. Meditate on my word. Don't be afraid. He says it several times. I'm like, I got it, God. Awesome. So I get back, and I start to want to tell Sari, well, God has shown me some things. And she said, well, let me show you something first. Let me get my journal out. She pulls it out and she said, God is speaking to me about us going to Panama. And he gave me a scripture. And I'll let you, if you want to, you can ask her more of her side of the story. This is the short version. He gave me a scripture. Lo and behold, what scripture do you guess it was? Joshua chapter 1. Moses is dead. Now then, everywhere you go, I'm going to give you. So this is how God speaks. That's him telling what's, when Jesus said, he will take what's mine and make it known to you. That's a perfect example of that kind of thing, that he wants to give to us all the time. Not just little moments here and there. He has it for you today. In whatever circumstance you find yourself in, it has a practical outworking. That's him saying what's his. Here's an example of what is yet to come. I like this story. It's a story of myself when I came to America. I knew God had spoken to me that I was going to come here. Of course, this is in 1997 when I actually got here. But 2 years before that, I started going through the process of getting residency, and it was taking a long time. You know, bureaucracy and all that kind of stuff. So it was getting very difficult and frustrating. And more people started telling me, oh, maybe God doesn't want you to go. Maybe you should. But I knew. I had a word like this. I know Jesus wants me there. If I know anything, I know that. So I'm going to persevere. And more people kept telling me, oh, it's not going to work. 2.5 years go by. So eventually I get an appointment at the U.S. Embassy in London, which is the other side of the world for me at the time. So anyway, I go down there and I get asked this question. So I sell all my furniture, give up the house, quit my job, go to the embassy, I'm going to get a visa, get on a plane 2 days later, go to America. Well, they tell you that you're not supposed to do that. Don't leave your job, because you might not get a visa, right? You might not get residency. So I do all that, burn all my bridges, and I'm in going for the appointment. Somebody says to me, what's going to happen if you don't get the visa? You have no house, no stuff, no job, and you're in London. Who wants to be there, you know? So I remember saying this. Something just came up inside me, and I said, if I have to go to that embassy and knock on the door and get the consul to come out himself and stamp my passport with a visa, I'm going to Houston and nothing's going to stop me. It's like, all right, so fair enough. And I had no idea that what I was doing right there was prophesying. Because what came later was I went to the embassy and they turned me down. And I'm like, I have a plane ticket in 2 days. You can't turn me down. I have to leave. So anyway, they sent me away and said, you need to fax us some paper, which I did. I came back later, and the security is at the door. Now, the U.S. Embassy in London is a big place. You've probably been there, right? Always packed full of people. Well, hundreds of people. Well, it was pretty much empty. There's outside. There's usually lines outside. Well, there's a security guy at the door, and I get there, and he's like, we're closed. I said, no, I got to get in. They sent me away for some paperwork, and I've come back. Well, it's closed. You need to come back like on Monday. I can't. I've got to get in right now. Okay, fine. So the guy lets me in. Well, now there's a Marine inside with a gun. And he's guarding the next part you've got to get through. And he's like, we're closed. I said, no, I've got to get in there. He said, you can't. I said, me against this U.S. Marine, you know. Like, he's like, you're not getting in. I said, I need to get in. I've got to get some paperwork. And I've got, okay, fine. So he lets me. I get in this massive holding room that holds hundreds of people with all these doors and windows, and they're all closed. Closed. They weren't lying. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I see this door at the end. I march over to the door. I start banging on this door. This woman comes out. What are you doing? We're closed. I said, yeah, but you guys, earlier a woman sent me to get paperwork. I sent it in and I'm here to get my. She said, well, you need to come back. I said, I can't come back. I've got a plane. She said, all right, well, let me go look. She goes away, comes back about 15 minutes later. Felt like forever. Comes back and she goes, oh, yeah, we've got your stuff here. She says, we weren't going to give it to you, but since you're here anyway, she says, we might as well. So we'll just not. So if we just wait here half an hour, we'll get your paperwork processed and come back. So anyway, it still doesn't dawn on me yet. So I get my thing. I walk outside the embassy and I get on the street and it just hits me all of a sudden. I remember my own words. If I have to knock on the door of that same place and tell that consul to give me a visa, I'm getting a visa because God told me to go to Houston. And I started just jumping up and down on the street, realizing these are the words of God. Sometimes just in your own personality, it doesn't have to be some spooky thing. It's just you, being you. But when the Holy Spirit's communing with you and you're immersed in Him, you speak things for your own future, what is yet to come. I didn't know what was yet to come in front of my life, but God knew. And of course, that gives you assurance to keep going. That's the point. It's not a story just for the sake of sound and fancy. It's the assurance of keeping going. It's the assurance of what Jesus said. He will be in you and He will be with you. And He'll help you. He's a helper, a counselor, a comforter, a teacher. And so that's what I want to pray for us today. Before in a second here, we're going to pray. I want you to think and ask the Holy Spirit for Him to give you words on those two categories. What's in the heart of God for you now and what is yet to come? And let Him speak it to you in this moment, because that's what He wants to do. So if you'll just bow your heads and just still your heart right there and ask the Holy Spirit, pray and speak to Him. Holy Spirit, will you give me your words about what's in Jesus' heart for me?